We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will bless our broadcast service to you today.
You may own many mansions, much silver and much gold. You may have success in life and feel you've reached your goal. But all of this can't save you or satisfy your soul. Unless you've got salvation, my friend, you've missed your goal. You never really live till you've known the Lord, till you felt His presence, trusting in His word. Day by day beside Him, as on the path you trod, you never really live till you've known the Lord. When you get acquainted with Jesus, everything seems new. The things that you once hated are the things you love to do. You'll go to church on Sunday and attend prayer meeting too. It'll make you love your neighbor and all of your enemies too. You never really live till you've known the Lord, till you felt His presence, trusting in His word. Day by day beside Him, as on the path you trod, you never really live till you've known the Lord.
He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord today, you do not have life. I speak, of course, of spiritual life, of eternal life. For Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We're trusting that wherever our broadcast is reaching, the Holy Spirit will be able to make it a blessing to each and to every one. We do thank You for our congregation. We know that You love each one of them. We know that You care for them. We know that You're interested in the things that are interesting to them. So bless this broadcast and bless this precious people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today throughout this land, cry for peace on every hand, seeking love and happiness that satisfies. They'll not find it on their own, that is not where they may roam. Only turning to the Lord brings happiness.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, serving Jesus every day.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, singing, smiling on our way. He's our guide and constant friend, and we'll serve Him to the end.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, walking with Him. Through the heartaches, tears, and pain, man is seeking earthly gain. In this world of sin, true riches can't be found. If we walk with Him each day, He will guide this toilsome way to a wealth of happiness and peace of mind.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, serving Jesus every day.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, singing, smiling on our way. He's our guide and constant friend, and we'll serve Him to the end.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, walking with Him.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, serving. every day.
It's a happy love.
It's a happy love. It's singing, smiling on our way. He's our guide and constant friend. And we'll serve him to the end. It's a happy love.
It's a happy life.
Walking with him.
Our subject for this broadcast, Your Life. And I have two passages of scriptures that I'd like to read. First of all, from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13, 14, and 15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. And then from the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, reading verses 18 and 19. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Life is a gift, a very precious gift from God. We read in Paul's statement there in Athens, Greece, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath, yea, and all things. That's Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. And we notice from this passage of Scripture that it is God who gives to us life. He giveth to all life and breath and all things, every good gift and every perfect gift, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, nor even a shadow of turning. Now James has asked a very important question in the scripture that I read from chapter 4 of James, and then he has answered it, in part at least, speaking of its brevity, even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Consider with me some lives. First of all, I would like to refer to a beautiful life, and I want to call your attention to the young man Joseph, who was the firstborn son of Rachel. Jacob had other sons, of course, but Joseph was the firstborn son of Rachel. And Joseph lived for 110 years. And Joseph lived a beautiful life. If you know the story of Joseph, you know that he was sold by his brothers when he was around 17 years of age into Egypt, or at least they sold him to Midianites who were going into Egypt, and they took Joseph into Egypt and sold him to a man by the name of Potiphar. And God was with him and enabled him to live the life there of servitude that was beautiful before his master. And his master trusted everything into his hands as far as his business life is concerned. And you know how that when he refused to be unfaithful to his master by committing a fornication with his wife, he was put in prison. But even there, the Bible tells us that the Lord was with him. Two men had dreams, and Joseph told both of them what the meaning of their dream was. One was to be restored to favor with the king, and the other one was to be killed. And he said to the one that was to be restored to favor with the king, "Remember me when you come before the king, for I am here innocently. I have done nothing wrong to be here." But the man was so happy to be restored, he forgot all about Joseph until the king himself had a dream, in fact, had two dreams. And then he remembered Joseph. And they brought Joseph out of prison. He shaved and dressed up and went in before the king. And the king told him about his dreams. And Joseph told him both dreams meant the same thing. There would be 7 years of plenty, and then there would be 7 years of famine. And he advised the king to appoint someone to take care and to gather in store during the 7 years of plenty. And the king said, "Well, since you have the wisdom and knowledge to interpret the dream, who could I find better than you?" And so he appointed him in charge of those things. Now, after the 7 years of plenty and the first 2 years of famine, here came some men from Canaan to buy grain and food for their families. And Joseph recognized who they were. He did not make himself known at first to them, but he recognized who they were. And he spoke a little cross to them, not because he had evil in his heart, but because he was testing them. And to make the long story short, Joseph later revealed himself that he was their brother, the one they had sold into Egypt. And they sent back to the land of Canaan and brought Jacob and all of his household into the land of Goshen there in Egypt. And Joseph took care of them and saw that they had plenty while the famine continued. And after they had all died off, that is, his brothers and his father had died off, Pharaoh and Joseph himself had died. Pharaoh forgot all about what Joseph had done, and then he made the Hebrews slaves. But what a beautiful life. After Jacob had died, his brothers came to him and said, "Now, you know your father, he wanted you to treat us good and not to be evil to us." And so Joseph said to them, you don't have anything to worry about. I have no evil in my heart. I have no intention of mistreating you." And what a beautiful life. What a forgiving spirit. And so Joseph can be held up even for our young people today as an example of one who lived a beautiful, pure, and holy life. The second life I want to mention is a useful life. And I want to speak about a man by the name of Moses. And of course, Moses got his name drawn out because he was drawn out of the water. His mother gave him one name, his father gave him another one, and Miriam gave him one, and Aaron gave him one. He had a number of names. But Moses was born there in the land of Egypt. And Moses lived for 120 years. After he came of years, which was of 40, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And he fled Egypt, and he was there with his father-in-law for 40 years. When he reached the age of 80, he saw a burning bush. A strange sight, because the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. So he approached it, and he heard a voice saying, "Moses, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground." And God chose Moses to return to the land of Egypt to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. Moses made excuses at first, but God didn't let him off. And he said to him, "What do you have in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." He said, "Throw it down." And it became a serpent. He said, "Now take it again." And it became a rod again. And God said, "Now by that rod you'll go into Egypt, and you shall show signs and wonders." And if you know the story, God did indeed bring 10 plagues upon the Egyptian. The last plague was the death of the firstborn. And after the death of the firstborn, where there was no blood on the doorpost, the Egyptians, along with Pharaoh, urged the Israelites to leave. And they did. And Moses led them. And he led them for 40 years. They were a murmuring, complaining, grouching bunch of people. But Moses was one of the meekest of men. And as I've said a number of times, do not confuse weakness and meekness. A person can be very weak about a lot of things, but it takes a man to be meek. And Moses was one of the meekest of men. And he had meekness, and he had leadership, and he had a strong character, and he lived a very useful life. I say he lived to be 120 years. God called him up on Mount Pisgah, and there he buried him. Moses died, and God buried him. No one knew where, and no one knows yet today where. But Moses did indeed live a useful life. Now the third life that I would like to mention is a dedicated life. There was a lady by the name of Hannah. She was one of two wives of the man Elkanah. And one of the wives of Elkanah was able to have children. But Hannah had no children. And doubtless the wife who did have children taunted Hannah and made fun of her and mocked her. And her heart was greatly troubled. And they had the habit of going up to the house of worship at Shiloh once every year. And so they were there at Shiloh whenever Hannah was praying. The high priest Eli, although he wasn't a very spiritual man, he thought Hannah was drunk and was carrying on. And he said to her, daughter of Belial, and so forth, "Oh, no, I am not drunk." She had not ate, as a matter of fact. She had refused to eat because her heart was so burdened. And she told Eli what her burden was. She made a promise to God that if he would give her a son, she would give him back to the Lord as long as he lived. And Eli said, "Well, the Lord's going to grant your request." And he did. God gave Hannah a son. And she named him Samuel. And she kept him until he was weaned. And then she took him to Shiloh and left him there with the high priest Eli. Now they did visit Shiloh every year, and she took him a new coat. But along about the age of 13, God spoke to this child, and he thought it was Eli calling him. And he went to Eli and said, "You called me." Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down." And about the third time, Eli sensed that there was something different about the call. And he said, "Now, if he calls again, you say, 'Here is thy servant, the Lord, hear, or I hear thee, Lord.'" And so the voice came again. And God did speak to Samuel. And what he told him was not very pleasant. But Eli demanded the next morning to know, and so Samuel told him. It wasn't very good for Eli and for his family, but nevertheless, God revealed it to Samuel, and Samuel revealed it to Eli. And through the years, the people of Israel began to know that God was with Samuel and had called him to be a prophet and a judge among them. In fact, Samuel was the last judge and the first prophet. Whenever Samuel was there about 20 years, the Philistines were oppressing the Israelites, And Samuel encouraged them to organize an army and go out there and fight those Philistines, and they won. They fought together there at Mizpah, and they fought and they organized themselves into an army, and they defeated and threw off the yoke of the Philistines. So Samuel was a very dedicated man. He carried out God's will. He did whatever the Lord told him to do. He delivered messages to Saul that was not very pleasant, but nevertheless, he was true to God. His life was dedicated to God, and he carried out the will of God. Now, whenever Samuel was old, his sons were doing sinful things. The people wanted a king, and Samuel begged them not to get a king, but they wanted to be like other peoples around them. And so God said to Samuel, well, you give them a king. But the king did not prove to be a good leader in the latter part of his life. And Samuel charged the people, now you show me, where have I defrauded anyone? Where have I taken anything by false accusation? And the people said, no, no, Samuel, we have no charge. We have no complaint against you. You have been a faithful judge. You have been a faithful prophet all through your life. Now, the next one that I would like to mention, life number 4, a selfish life. And I refer to the rich young farmer that we read about in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. This young farmer went out and looked over his crops and saw that a bountiful crop was coming on. And he said, well, what am I going to do? Those little barns that I have are not sufficient to store all this crop that's coming on. And so he thought to himself, I know what I'll do. I'll have my servants to tear down these small barns, and I'll build bigger barns. And I will say unto my soul, thou hast much good laid up in store. Eat, drink, and be merry. But while he was there, looking over the crops, thinking these things, he heard a voice, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself, and is not rich toward God. Now, this man, a rich young man, thought of self. He was indeed living a selfish life. And there were many people all around him, doubtless, who had needs, but he thought of self and self only. And he was a healthy man out there looking over the crops. But when he went back home, he said to his wife, I heard a voice. And she said, you did? What did the voice say? The voice said, I am going to die tonight. And the wife said, well, my, you're a healthy man. You just had a checkup last week, and the doctor pronounced you well and healthy. What do you mean you're going to die tonight? Well, I heard this, somebody may be trying to play a joke on you. No, this was a voice of authority. And the man watched as the sun sank, and darkness came on. And that night, he passed from time into eternity. And the voice asked, then, who shall those things be which thou hast provided? But notice another statement in this scripture, in Luke chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. So is he, so is everyone, in other words, that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Anyone who layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God, is, according to the words of the Lord Jesus, a fool. Now, the fifth and last one that I would like to mention. What is your life? Yes, what is your life? James said, it is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanish away. Is your life a beautiful life? Is your life a useful life? Is your life a dedicated life? Or is your life a selfish life? Yes, every one of us have life, and God is the giver of life. As we quoted earlier in the message, the Bible says that God is the one who gives to all life and breath, yea, and all things. So God is the one who gave you life. H.M. Riggle, a minister of the Church of God many years ago, told the story of a man in Georgia who went out in his backyard, lifted his arm and his fist toward heaven, and he said, "If there be a God, you come down here and fight me like a man." And God just sent a little gnat down his windpipe, and he choked to death. Yes, as God said to this rich young ruler, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." God not only gives life, but God takes life. But remember this, God has also said through his servant Paul there in Athens, "He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Regardless of what kind of a life we are living, we will have to give an account to God. My prayer and my desire is that you will live a righteous and a godly life. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust the thoughts and scriptures that we have brought have been a blessing to you. Now, if our broadcast is a blessing, it would be an encouragement to us if you would take time to let us know. Our postal address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. We invite you to be with us in our Sunday services as they are broadcast live over the Internet. Our morning worship service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening worship service begins at 6. And again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast. And until then, may the Lord's blessings abide.
Journey, one from which I won't return, and I shall live forever.